for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, July the 6th, 2018. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on learning to enter into God's rest.
Lord, we just come before your throne and we thank you, Lord, that you're the King, you're our God, you're our Lord, our Master, our Healer, our great physician. Oh God, thank you. Not only, Lord, have I received you as my Savior, but as my great physician. Thank you, Lord. Lord, cover us with the blood of Jesus. Loose your ministering angels into this place. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth, forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us or this meeting, against Merrill, against Barbara, against Patty, Kevin, against Rick, Dan, Linda, or anyone else who works in this camp, in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We bind all demons that would twist the word of God. We bind sleep, slumber, all spirits that would hinder us from the truth that sets us free, in Jesus' name. We cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us in this camp, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of this message is Entering God's Rest Through Conquering Giants. How many of you have giants in your land? Giants of fear, giants of gluttony, giants of addiction, giants of depression. God doesn't want us to live under any of that. Do you know that? He wants us to live in peace. We're not to allow anger in our life. We're not to allow button pushers. We're not to allow fear. You know, we just go through life thinking those things are just kind of normal. No, they're not. God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live in total rest 24/7. My daddy once was so generous. He called me and told me to go buy me a new Cadillac Eldorado. And it was the greatest car. Oh my goodness, it was so beautiful. It had gold wheels. Oh, it was gorgeous. Anyway, it had a thing on this car on the gear shift. If you got it a little out of whack, the computer would say system problem. Well, you and I have a system problem when we lose our peace. God says He'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon Him because you're trusting in Him. And when you have no peace, you have no rest. You know, unrest is a curse. It comes in through, in fact, Deuteronomy 28 says, there'll be no, because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments, there'll be no resting place for the sole of your feet. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul. But there'll be no place to have rest. So rest is a curse because the only thing that frees you and brings you into rest is the yoke of Jesus, where He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. You know, we wear self-inflicted yokes. You can't see a yoke with the human eye. We have self-inflicted yokes. We have yokes we put on each other. We have yokes we put on our children. We have yokes that we put on our mates. Other people put yokes on our neck through their expectations. I wear a self-inflicted yoke because of my expectations of myself. And God doesn't want us. He wants us to throw off every yoke to come under the yoke of Jesus, which is a picture of coming under His control. It's a picture of basically yielding my life to the potter. What does the clay do? It rests on the potter's wheel. It's a picture of me coming under God's yoke, coming under God's control, and resting on the potter's wheel. And the potter does everything. All the clay does is rest on the potter's wheel. All the clay does is yield to the potter. But when we live a life of unrest, we're busy trying to turn that potter's wheel and make things happen. And there's people that don't sleep at night, and this is not criticizing anybody, but God's got an answer. He says, the fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. So there's promises in God's word, and if I'm fearing everything else, I'm not fearing the Lord. I'm fearing everything. And I'll tell you something that the other night I woke up, and I tell you, I probably missed about 8 hours sleep in my whole life in the middle of the night. But I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning starting to worry. What if, what if, what if? And you know what broke that? Finally, I must have laid there an hour before I got my message. I said, Lord, if that would glorify you the most for that to happen, so be it. I'll let it all go. Good night. So if you want to go to sleep, you've got to do the Abraham Isaac thing. You got to take it up the mountain and let it go. Amen? But unrest is a curse because if I'm in unrest, I'm not resting on the potter's wheel. Now, there's different reasons, you know, how you grow up. If you grew up, two types of people really find it hard to rest. One is a perfectionist, has to have everything just perfect, and gets mad at you if it isn't. You know, God's a perfectionist, but when your perfectionism becomes intolerance, then it's not God. And another type of person that has a hard time resting is a person that is parental inverted. That means you had to be the mom and the daddy when you grew up. And God says the government is on, His name is Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the government is on His shoulders. And so if I grew up parental inverted, that means that my parents, because of their incompetence or their irresponsibility or their laziness or their selfishness or whatever reason, they put the government on my shoulders. That's one reason that I can live in rest, because I receive a lie that I have to take care of everybody, that the government's on my shoulders. Another thing, a person that's perfectionism, they get their acceptance through what they do. And they wear everybody around them out. Nobody around them can rest. They can't rest. Everybody's on their treadmill. And so those are two types of people that have a hard time resting. Another thing, unrest comes in because of childhood trauma. You know, Psalms 91 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you picture God's refuge, Psalms 91, like a big umbrella. If your parents were under that umbrella, under submitted to the Lordship of Jesus in God's refuge, then you were born there. But if you were not born under God's refuge, your parents were not under God's refuge, you were born outside of that umbrella where the fiery darts fly and there's no rest out there. So, you know, God tells parents, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Thank God for godly parents. I want to say this too, parents that have little children. You are allowing, by the toys and the books and the games and the shirts and the demonic images, all the things that and more that Randy mentioned last night, you're allowing your children to be demonized. The TV demonizes your children. And so when you get home, go through your kids' room and get rid of anything that looks like a monster. And, you know, you can go through the toy department of Walmart and feel the demonic oppression. The toys are engineered and designed to get your children bound to demons. And you bring that in your house, and then there's no rest in your house. So that's just a word to parents. You train up a child in the way he should go. It sets a default. However he's trained up sets a default. And a default's like a computer, for example. The computer is set to do a certain letter style. There's like 300 different fonts. You can type another letter, use a different font, but it'll kick it back to the next letter. It'll kick it back to the way the factory set it. And so your kids and you are under the defaults of how you're training your kids up, and how you were trained up sets a default. And you're trying to break out of those defaults, and you keep getting kicked back to the way you were trained up. But, but praise Jesus, those things can be broken through deliverance and through repentance. I thank God for deliverance, and I don't want to go back one day in my life, because even though I feel like there's a few things I'd do over, maybe about how I train my children, but I don't want to go back one day. I've overcome so much that I might not make it next time. Anyway, we want to live our life in such a way that when we stand before the Lord, He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." There's things that God may allow other people to do, but He don't allow you to do it. It's like He's calling you to something else, something higher. And He says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And so, if a default of unrest was set in your life, you're reliving your childhood. A lot of times what you're going through now is the exact thing when you went through when you were a child and you didn't know to bring it to God. So now God uses other people to mirror what He needs to fix in you. It's a part of the sanctification process. He will allow trial to come into your life in the areas that He wants to fix next. Thank God He don't want to fix them all at once, because we couldn't take it. So He uses the problem to point you to the next thing. I'm so thankful that God has taught me that when people are getting on my last nerves, either I've done the very same thing they're doing, it's bothering me, or I've judged my mother and father for it, or judged someone else for it. And so I've learned, when I go through things, to ask the Lord, "Lord, what are you trying to teach me?" And I have failed at the last camp. I failed the night before the camp, and I couldn't hardly walk. For a whole week, I could hardly walk. And I thought, well, this time, you know, pride goes before a fall. This time, I'm not walking in pride. Oh, my goodness, did I ever see the pride. When I got to asking God what He was trying to teach me, I could think about five or six things, and I thought of another thing yesterday. So there's lessons to be learned in everything you go through. Instead of griping about what you're going through and, oh, no, this is happening to me, God's trying to teach us something. He's got a lesson He wants to teach you in everything you're going through. And so take that before the Lord and then do what the Lord says. Take it to the cross. He disciplines every son whom He loves. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I've skipped over. I'm way down to the end of my message. Let me find out where I left off here. Praise God.
Part two.
Yeah, part two. this unrest comes into the generational iniquities of the forefathers. If you had a perfectionist or a performing mother or father, you couldn't rest. If you were born outside of God's refuge, the unrest comes down generationally. The sins of the fathers pass on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. Unrest is a curse because it's the fruit of the wrong yoke. Whenever you have on the yoke of Jesus, it's light and easy. You find rest for your soul. When you wear someone else's yoke, it's grueling, annoying, chafing, and it produces the works of the flesh. You know, God tells us to fear not. Fear is a sin. Fear is a sin. You say it again. Fear is a sin. And we tolerate it. Fear is the faith in what the devil's telling you instead of faith in what God tells you. And God says that we're to fear not, but there's a few things in the Bible He tells us that we should fear. And one is in Hebrews 4. It says, it warns us to see to it that we do not fail to enter God's rest. He goes on to say that some did not enter it because of unbelief and rebellion. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering His rest, one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter God's rest. And so when we are in the unrest, we're really not believing, right? It says, just as He has said, as I swore to you in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although His works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest, verse 6. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day. Today, saying to David, after so long a time, just as been said before, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You know, God will speak to us and we kind of ignore him. We're hardening our heart against him. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would have spoken of another day after that. Verse 9, so there remains a Sabbath rest for God's people. And I believe it's being able to just live a lifestyle of rest. When you lose your rest, you lose your peace. Okay, God, what did I do? That's the first thing I say. If I start getting a cold or something, I'll say, okay, God, what did I do? And I'll start repenting, and it'll go like this. You know, sin's behind sickness. I know you don't want to hear that, but it is. Sin is behind this eye problem that's getting better in Jesus' name. For the one who has entered his rest has also rested from all of his works. So you see, when we're in unrest, it's our works, as God rest did from his. Verse 11, therefore let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one fail through following the same example of disobedience. And so the children of Israel had a physical land to possess, and you and I have a spiritual land to possess. The giants on our land is fear, anxiety, gluttony, addictions, depression, despondency, despair. You know, all of that is rooted in idolatry. I get depressed. You know, I went to a conference once, and there was a bunch of these psychiatrists, and they were talking about, you know, when somebody's depressed, you know, close the blinds, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And you know, all it is, you know, why we get depressed? We look at our life and we don't look like we don't look at our life and we don't look at ourselves. We see, what we see is not what our image of what we need to look like to be perfect. Or we look at our circumstances, our job, and we look at that and it doesn't match up to what we think. It's all idolatry. And so if we want to get over depression, we have to die to our image of what we think it ought to be. You have to let go of your life, Jesus said. In John 12, he said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone, but if it dies, it produces much fruit. And you know, Watchman Nee, can't think of the name of the book, but Watchman Nee wrote this book. He said, when you plant a grain of corn, the moisture in the soil corrodes the outward layer of the corn, and then the life in that corn springs forth. And he was comparing that to us. If we want fruit in our life, we have to die to our life that we might find it, so that the resurrected life of Christ can come through. I was listening to a message the other day by a person that took over a healing ministry, and I 90% agreed with him. But one thing he said, you know, you don't have to put the anointing's in you because Christ is in you. And the more we decrease, the more he increases, and more of that anointing comes to our life, the more we decrease and die to ourselves. And we're always praying for God's anointing, and I still pray for God's anointing, asking him to anoint it. But the more we die to ourselves, the more the life of Christ comes through, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control. Against such, there is no law. And that's when we're under God's refuge, under that big umbrella of Psalms 91. There's no law when we're submitted under the Lordship of Jesus on the potter's wheel. But outside the God's refuge, there is a law. And the demons are the executors of God's law. And children of Israel had a physical land to possess, and we have a spiritual land to possess. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, you're a building, you're a house, and you're a field. You're a spiritual garden. Watch what you plant in your garden. Parents, watch what you let be planted in your kids' spiritual garden. watch what's planted in your own life. The Bible tells us to watch over our heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. And so we have to possess today what we didn't possess as children. Little children don't know that they can't let the sun go down on their anger unless you teach them that. And so because parents model for us a picture of what God's like, unconsciously, we don't go to God. We turn to a promise we make ourselves. That promise is a false god. And so when we turn to a false god, there's hurt. Because if you turn to God in your pain, you're not going to be hurt. If you let the sun go down on your anger, the scripture says you give a foothold to the devil. And Matthew 18 says you're turned over when you don't forgive. You're turned over to the tormentors, which is demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor. And so when we let the little children don't know not to let the sun go down on their anger, so they turn to a promise they make theirself. When I get out of this house, life's going to be different. Or I'll never be like my mother, or I'll never treat my kids like this, or nobody's going to treat me this way, or, you know, I can't be blamed for anything. And those vows I turn to are false gods that sets in motion forces for me to keep on reaping that very same thing. And I shared this morning, and this is a scripture, when you honor your mother and father, your life will go well. When you don't honor your mother and father, life will not go well. You know, I could have you stand up right now and say, where is your life not going well? Trace it back to not honoring your mother and father, and you could get deliverance right then. Honor doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to pattern your life after them. It doesn't mean you have to put them on a pedestal. If they're satanic, it doesn't mean you even have to fellowship with them. It means that you forgive them by sundown, and you can honor the position without supporting their drug habit or whatever. And so it means to forgive them by sundown. So when we forgive, lots of things are broken in the spirit realm. Without forgiving, you won't be delivered, and Jesus said you won't even be forgiven. And so what we didn't possess as children, we have to possess now. And God drives them out little by little. He doesn't do it at one time. He'll let you see the problem, and you find the root of it, and repent, whatever. And every time you deal with something and get the victory, you enter God's rest. You know, every time God's broken addiction off your life, or every time you've overcome something, you rest in that area. But God wants us to live a lifestyle of rest. And so some ways, our life is a rerun of how we grew up. What's happening here today is a rerun of what happened as children. When the foundation is good, the kids have less problems. Nobody's perfect, no parent's perfect, but the less dysfunction in a home makes more for a happier person that is more victorious. For example, if you grew up being loved, you never doubt you're loved. I can tell Merrill right now, I mean, I've never talked about this, but he grew up with mother and daddy that loved him, and he's probably never doubted in his whole life he was loved. Same with Carla. She grew up the same way. You know, I've never felt unloved a day in my life because I had a mother and daddy that loved me and loved each other. They weren't perfect, and I'm not saying that, but the reason you don't feel loved is because your parents didn't love you. The reason you don't feel like God's telling you the truth is because your parents lied to you. If you feel like God's not going to take care of me, I have to do it myself, it's because mother and daddy didn't take care of you. Because if they did, you never doubt it. I never doubt one minute God's going to take care of me, because my mom and dad always took care of me. They're still taking care of me today. I mean, I live a more comfortable life because of the provision they made for me. Have I had struggles? Oh boy, have I. My mother was not she was an enabling mother. And she hit me with a clothes hanger once in my life. Well, guess what? God's had to take up where she left off. My daddy spanked me 4 times, and I remember all 4. I haven't forgotten not any of them. But anyway, God tells us to use the rod on our kids, right? Anyway, so God's got to get the brat out of you. And so most likely the things that are vexing you now are the same things that vexed you in childhood. in every area your parents failed to train you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you have an anger problem. Because if God tells parents, train up your children the way they should go, fathers provoke not your children to anger, then by training them up in the way they should go, otherwise they're provoked to anger. And you'll have an anger issue, even though you might not see it for 50 years from now. Because God drives out the enemy little by little. It's a part of the sanctification process. God allows issues to surface in your daily lives as part of the sanctification process. Okay, let's just talk about some ways you know if you're not overcoming. Let me find my list here. You know, when God lets people mirror things, He's really trying to give you a clear picture of what you need to deal with. The Lord showed me once, got in a disagreement with someone, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry, and so the next day I was still arguing with her in my head, and I said, well, Lord, she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. So if you have the issues of forgiving, and you said the words, and you want to do it, but it keeps coming back, it's a mother-daddy issue. And so when an issue is dealt with, a giant is conquered. So just as there were giants in the land of Canaan, there's giants in our land. And the giants in our land are the same giants we had in childhood that we didn't conquer. We didn't know how to do it. And so God disciplines every son whom He loves. And so in His discipline and His correcting us, He realigns us with the Word of God. God tells us that we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And one way we do this is when we go through a trial, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And let God use that trial to conform me to His image. Otherwise, I'll get bitter. If you don't deal with it, you'll become a bitter person. If you deal with it, you'll get better because you'll be conformed into the image of Christ. And it's a process. We'll be perfect till we get to heaven. Hebrews 12 says, pursue peace with all men and sanctification without which no man will see God. It says in Hebrews 12, without holiness no man will see God. So how do we know that we're not possessing our land? How do we know that we're not conquering these giants? When we hold on to our life and we hold on to anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. Ephesians 4 says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Before it says that, it says, be angry and sin not. Well, what does that mean? It means you have till sundown to deal with it. I used to think be angry and sin not meant to deny your anger. Are you angry? My husband would say, well, are you mad? No. Are you sure you're not mad? No. Well, you sure have a funny look on your face. No. No, I'm not angry. That's not what it means. It means recognize you're angry. You may have a good reason for being angry. I'm angry. I have a good reason. You shouldn't have done this, but I choose to forgive you. So I don't let the sun go down on it. Carla, what was it that you said that about...
The loophole.
Uh-huh. Oh, the loophole. What is the loophole?
When Mike and I had an argument, and I was having trouble going to sleep because I couldn't forgive him.
Uh-huh.
You have till sundown. Well, it happened after sundown, so I have till tomorrow sundown.
Okay, that's the loophole. Did y'all hear that? but don't hold on to it. Deal with it right there. I mean, don't let stuff pile up.
No.
Most people let sin pile up. The minute you sin, ask God to forgive you. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Confess it. You know, just recently, I've been griping about my body my whole life, wanting to be petite. Just griping and complaining. And the other day, I said, God, I was actually so ashamed of myself. I kept telling Him I'm sorry all week. I mean, He heard me the first time, but I was so ashamed of myself. And I said, Lord, I ask You to forgive me for griping and complaining about my body my whole life. I thank You that this body has worked almost perfectly for almost 80 years. Thank You, Lord. And I'm not going to be ungrateful anymore. When I start feeling fat or getting discouraged, I just start thanking God that I'm healthy.
Bless the Lord. We know we're not possessing our land when we continue to get our buttons pushed, and we talked about button pushers this morning. Whatever rings on your brain and pushes your button is attached to idol. And so don't allow these things. Get to the bottom of them. You know you're not possessing your land when you're a grumbler and a complainer, and that's a sure sign that you're backsliding, a backsliding spirit. In 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about, somebody read 1 Corinthians 10. And you can come up here and read it. I didn't, you know how when the children of Israel went through, it said don't be like the Israelites that griped and complained and demons were sent on them.
What scripture?
It's 1 Corinthians 10 where it talks about be careful if you think you stand before, unless you fall. It's before, about two or three paragraphs before that. Be careful if you think you stand. I'm guessing about the middle of 1 Corinthians 10.
Verse 12.
You want to come up here and read it?
Well, verse 1, let's just go there. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat all the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, and fell, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us put Christ to the test, as some of them also tested him, and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come.
Oh, did you read? Be careful if you think you stand.
Oh, well, that was the next one. Okay. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Now, this was for murmuring and complaining. You know, if God inhabits your praises, who do you think inhabits your moans and groans? Satan does. You know you're not possessing your land when you're getting bitter instead of better. And let me tell you, the promises of God are to the overcomer, not to the overcome. Jesus has already won the victory for you at Calvary. We just have to enter into it. He's already won the battle, but we have to cooperate with him. You know you're not overcoming. It's when you become overcome instead of being an overcoming life. 2 Peter 2:19 says, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For even after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of Christ their Savior and become entangled again, the last state of that man is worse than the first. It goes on to say, as the proverb goes, a dog returns to his vomit and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. You know, you can take a pig and clean him up and paint his toenails and put a blue ribbon on his head and let him go and he'll go right back to the slough. Amen. So if you've done that, maybe you're a pig and you need to examine. And when we know that we're not overcoming when we live in a state of unrest. So what's the key to unrest? Coming under God's yoke and getting all the other yokes off your neck. Well, you know you're not overcoming. It's when you're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There's church members and people in the church that just don't get it. And we're not going to get it if we don't ask God. God tells us over and over, Jesus says over and over, to him who has ears, let him hear. We all have people in our life that we can tell something and 3 months later they say, oh, you said that, you didn't tell me. Yes, we did. Ears to hear. 2 Timothy 3:6 says, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighted down with sins,
led by, owned by various impulses, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know you're not overcoming when you don't have a love of the truth. The Bible says, I think it's in 2 Thessalonians, I'm not sure, that says, if we don't have a love of the truth, we'll be sent a strong delusion, so we cannot be saved. And if you don't have a love of the truth, ask God to give you a love of the truth. That's a gift, to love the truth. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know you're not overcoming when you're walking in pride. Pride goes before a fall. Just ask me. And you know, I wasn't even aware I was walking in pride. In fact, I was aggravated. I didn't even realize I was aggravated, but aggravation is not walking in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. If we don't walk in the Spirit, that's pride. We know we're not overcoming when we're holding on to our life. God says you have to let it go to find it. You know you're not overcoming when you live in a life of discontentment. There was a time in my life when God first showed me this. I thought, you know, I'm not contented. And there was a time in my life I could go through a mall and everything I saw I wanted. I praise God for His gift of repentance and deliverance, because I can go through a mall and not see one thing I want. And that's a miracle. Praise God. To be totally contented. The Bible says without godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Contentment is peace. You know you're not overcoming when you have a form of godliness and deny the power. I used to think that was the denying the power of signs and wonders and miracles, but it means the denying the power of inherit in repentance. And every time we have a victory in any of these areas, we rest. And so what is God's rest, and how do you enter it? Through wearing the yoke of Jesus. Rest in the Greek means to put to rest, to make quiet, to grant rest, to lead to a quiet abode. God's rest is the place of peace and confidence and perfect trust in the character, nature, promises of God, and that He'll fulfill them. God's rest is a constant, willful choice of leaning on God, the person of God, depending on Him, knowing that you can't do it yourself. I don't know about you, but I was taught the Lord helped those that help themselves. My mother and daddy were kind of like Glenn Miller. They just kind of hung in there and let the front end drag kind of people. He was a rugged man, wasn't he? He was sick, and I saw him, and he was probably 90 years old. He had a big backhoe caterpillar tractor, and he was in the river taking the rocks out. And he had a jacket on, and it was wintertime, and anyway, he was amazing. I heard one time there was a false prophet. This was, in case you don't know, this was Merrill's daddy. And his mother founded this camp, for those of you who don't know. And there was a time when there was a false prophet in here, and Glenn told him to get out. And Glenn was a little bitty guy. He was about like a little jockey on him. I mean, he looked like he weighed about 70 pounds. Yeah. Little bitty guy, and he marched that false prophet right out. And I think him and Jerry Henley tackled the guy back there in the corner. And then he ran him out the door, and the man wasn't going to leave. So Glenn got on his tractor. This is not a little tractor. This is one of those gigantic ones. He got on that tractor, and he was heading right for that man's car, and that man got his car and took off. Anyway, he was a wonderful man. We just loved him so much. We're glad you're carrying on, Meryl. You're doing a tremendous job. But God's rest is a constant, willful choice of leaning on the person and depending on Him and Him alone to do what you yourself cannot do. Amen? The Lord helps those. You know, I felt guilty because I couldn't help myself. My mother used to say, you don't have any willpower. Everything you eat turns to fat, blah, 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 blah. And I had a good mama, but she had a mouth. she didn't use the, you know, she didn't use the rod, which she should have done. She would use her mouth, and that wounds a person. I told her once. I said, "Mother, it's a good." It's, I said, she just laughed at me. I said, "You know what? If you'd have treated me this way when I was a kid, I'd have had a wounded spirit." She just laughed. "Oh, you little brat." Anyway, I will say one thing in defense of myself. My daddy, I asked my dad, I said, "Dad, would you forgive me?" He was about 90 years old. "Would you forgive me that I haven't honored you my whole life? I haven't honored you." He said, "Jerry, I can't think of a time in your life that you haven't honored your mother and I." But in my heart, I mean, he didn't know it, but in my heart, I didn't. So I wanted to be a good girl. Entering God's rest is to abide in the vine. God says if we abide in, and abide means rest, stay under God's control, and you'll produce much fruit, it says in John 15. It means to cast all your cares on the Lord, 1 Peter 5:7. Matthew 6, consider the lilies, they don't spoil, they don't toil and spin. And it goes on to say Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like I've clothed these lilies. I know when a sparrow falls, and I'm going to take care of you. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. How do we be anxious for nothing? You just let it go. It means to wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that means to hope for, expect from, wait patiently. Entering God's rest means to believe He's got a plan and He's ordered your steps. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, they're for good and not for evil, so that you'll have a future and a hope. When my sons were 8 and 12, my husband took off with his secretary, and I tell you, my heart was broke, and I was crying in church one night. Tears were splashing down on my Bible, and this lady next to me, she opened my Bible to Jeremiah 29:11. I said, "Oh God, you have a plan in the midst of this mess." I said, "Lord, I don't want to be a divorcee. I'd rather be a widow." So I said, "Just kill him." And Lord, kill me. I said, "Lord, kill me." And then I said, "If you're not going to kill me, kill him, because I don't want to be a divorcee." He's still alive today and we're friends. But you know what? If I'd have got him back, like I felt like my whole world was caving in, I mean, because I really loved him, I would cry out to the Lord. I remember it was Christmas and I was on the floor crying. I said, "Well, Lord," the Lord said, "Jerry," because I used to, before this happened, before he left, I'd say, "Lord, you're all I want. You're all I want." And so after he left, God said, "Jerry, am I really all you want?" I said, "Yes, Lord, but I want my husband back." And I don't know why I'm sharing all this, but maybe it'll help somebody. Anyway, I said, "Lord, you said that if I delight in you, I'll have the desires of my heart. And so, Lord, I want this marriage restored." But you know, as I look back, it's been probably 45, 50 years ago. As I look back, I wouldn't be doing today what I'm doing now had I not had stayed married to that man. So this was the delight of my heart. But God knew that. And I didn't know it at the time. I thought the whole world's coming to an end. God's rest means to believe the character, that His character and ways are perfect, not like your mother and father with all their frailties. Entering God's rest means to die to all independent living. Give up your life that you might find it. Entering God's rest means to know that it depends on Him and not you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. It means to know that it's a work of His grace. No, it also means to know that it's up to Him to teach you. John 3:27 says you have no need of a teacher because his anointing abides in you. Entering God's rest means to know that He is your resting place, His refuge. Entering God's rest means to come out of all the places where we've been in a false refuge, things that we falsely trusted in to be a refuge. Alcohol, drugs, food, whatever you've run to in your pain. I love this scripture. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe." This room is, God's refuge is more real than this room we're in. You just can't see it with the physical eyes. And God tells you to actually run into His refuge. Entering God's rest means to know that you have done everything the Lord's told you to do. When you have a clear conscience, it says in Isaiah 30, in repentance and rest you'll be saved, in quietness, confidence will be your trust.
In quietness and confidence.
Be your trust. Thank you. It means to hold fast to your confession. Jesus is the high priest of your confession. You overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of your testimony, and you love, not your life. You know what? The reason we worry, the reason we fret is because we love our life. Give it up. It means to walk in the Spirit. And Galatians 5:16 says you'll not walk in the Spirit and you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans 8:13 says sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You know, there are serious consequences of us not hearing God's rest. It can be bone problems, skin disease, sickness, bone problems, and we're going to be talking about tomorrow at 3. I'm going to teach on healthy bones. Amen. We need healthy bones. Proverbs 14 says, tranquil heart, a peaceful heart is life to the body, but passion, anger, rivalry, fretting rots the bones. Okay, so stand up and let's get all the yokes off your neck. And Father, in Jesus' name, pray with me.
Father, Jesus,
I ask for the truth that sets me free.
I ask for the truth.
Lord, show me if I have anybody else's yoke on my neck. Show me if I have self-inflicted yokes. Show me if I put yokes on other people's necks. Father, I ask for the truth that sets me free. What was my mother and father like? How did I grow up? Am I a perfectionist? Parental inverted? Was my mother and father living in a state of unrest? Did I grow up in dysfunction? And unrest? Was I born under your refuge, Lord? Or outside of your refuge? Did the generations before me live in a state of unrest? Father, I want to throw off every yoke of bondage. And I want to come under your yoke. And I ask for the truth that sets me free. What do I need to repent of? In Jesus' name. Now, I want you just to repent of whatever the Lord shows you. And forgive your mother, father, if you have to. Somebody emailed me once and said, well, you shouldn't be blaming your mother and father because it wasn't your fault. I said, yeah, but you have what we have to repent of is our wrong responses. It's not your fault if your father or mother molested you, but you let the sun go down on it without dealing with it with God. So that's where you missed. It's your wrong response to whatever happened to you. So, Father, show me my wrong responses to what happened to me. In the name of Jesus. Just repent of everything the Lord shows you. And then sit down when you're through, and then we'll do deliverance. Father, pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother and father for not training me up in the way I should go. I forgive them for the dysfunction that was in their life. Now, I realize some of this doesn't apply to you, but it could apply to your forefathers. So just repent like it did happen. I forgive my mother and father for their performance, perfectionism, for loving me based on my performance. and what I did. Forgive me for trying to establish my life by my good works. Father, forgive me for griping and complaining. Forgive me for not being grateful. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my forefathers that they never rested. I forgive my mother and father. There was no peace in our home. I forgive my mother and father for their incompetence, for not nurturing me, not loving me, not taking care of me. I forgive them that I had to take care of them. I forgive them that they didn't put me on their hip and nurture me. I forgive my mother and father for their expectations, their unreasonable expectations. Father, I take the government off my shoulders. And I want you to reach up. I put the government on your shoulders where it belongs. And this day I resign as God. And Lord, forgive me for not giving up my life that I might find it. Forgive me for not holding on to my life. Forgive me for not entering your rest. Forgive me for not abiding in Christ. Forgive me for wearing yokes that are not yours. Forgive me for unbelief and doubt. God, forgive me for stubbornness. Forgive me for fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, depression. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me that I look at my life and it's not what I think it ought to be, and I take a nosedive. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for anger and bitterness. Forgive me for not letting my circumstances conform me into your image. Forgive me for disobedience and rebellion. And when I've heard your voice, I've hardened my heart. Forgive me for all the times I've let the sun go down on my anger. I forgive my parents for for provoking me to anger and not bringing me up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for turning to promises I made myself, idolatry. Forgive me for not forgiving my mother and father by sundown. Forgive me for all the times I let the sun go down on my anger and turn to a false god, which has set me up to reap the very thing I hate. Forgive me for thinking it's the end of the world when I go through a problem. Instead of knowing it's an opportunity, it's to get conformed into your image and to be more like you. Lord, I take all my worries and my fears, my children, my mate, my life, my job, my finances, everything about me, Lord. I take up the mountain like Abraham did Isaac, and I choose to let go of my life. I choose to possess my land. I choose to overcome. And Lord, forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments that would cause there to be no resting place for the sole of my foot, a trembling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. God, forgive me for not entering your rest and not living in a state of rest and peace. Forgive me for not keeping my eyes upon you. Forgive me for not having the perfect peace that passeth all understanding. Forgive me for tolerating anger and button pushers and fear and worry and depression in my life. Forgive me for putting up with those things. They're sin. Forgive me for not overcoming these giants that has caused pain, vexation, which has caused pain in my body. I want to remove vexation from my heart and put pain out of my body. Thank you, Lord,
that through you
I can redeem lost opportunities. I forgive myself.
I forgive
everyone who's hurt me.
I forgive
my parents for abandoning
me
physically,
mentally,
emotionally,
spiritually.
I forgive
my father for not
being a spiritual
leader of the home.
Forgive
me for not working
out my salvation
with fear and trembling.
Forgive
me for not pursuing
peace with all
men
and the
sanctification
without which
no one will
see you.
I ask
you to remove the
tormentors from my
life,
the demons
that inflict pain.
Forgive
me for grumbling
and for complaining,
just like
the children of Israel.
Forgive
me for being bitter
instead of letting
everything I go through
make me better.
Forgive
me for being
overcome instead of
overcoming.
Forgive
me for being a
person that's ever
learning
but
never comes to the
knowledge of the truth.
Forgive
me for living
day by day,
minute by minute
in a state of
unrest.
I told
someone that
I know that never
sleeps.
I mean, they might
sleep 3 hours a
night.
And I said,
the reason you
can't rest is
because it's a
curse.
The reason
I can't rest is
I'm married
and I have to work
and I have to do
this and I have to do
that.
I thought, dear
God, have mercy
on her soul.
You know,
a person with a
religious spirit
deals with the outward,
but they don't deal
with their heart issues.
And the
church is full.
90% of
church members are just
have a religious spirit.
They believe in Jesus
up here, but
have never been born
again.
When you're
born again, everything
about you changes,
but that's just
the beginning.
Forgive me
for not loving the
truth.
I
ask you to give
me a love of the truth,
Lord.
Forgive me
for not being contented.
I ask you
to work a work of
contentment in my
heart.
Forgive me
for walking in
pride.
Forgive me
for living in a
state of
discontentment.
Forgive
me for having a
form of godliness
and denying the
power.
Forgive
me for not knowing
that you know the
plans you have for
me.
Forgive me for not knowing the plans
that you have for
me. They're good
and not evil.
Give
me a future and a
hope.
Forgive
me for not
constantly,
willfully choosing
to give
up my life
so that I
can live in a state of
rest.
Forgive
me for not abiding
in you,
staying
under your authority,
coming under
your control.
Forgive me
for letting people
control me.
Forgive
me for not
casting all my
cares on you
because you care
for me.
Forgive
me for not
considering the
lilies.
Forgive
me for being anxious
for everything.
Forgive
me for not waiting
upon you.
Forgive
me for not knowing
that you've ordered my steps.
Thank
you that your plans
and purposes
cannot be thwarted.
Thank
you if I stay under
your authority,
resting
on your potter's
wheel,
I can't
miss what you put
me here for.
Forgive
me for not believing
your character and
ways are perfect.
Forgive
me for believing
that you're just like
my mom and dad,
believing all these
lies.
You're
perfect, God.
Lord,
I choose to
this day to
die to all of
independent living.
Forgive
me for not knowing
everything depends on
you. Forgive me for
thinking it all depends on
me.
Forgive me
for carrying the weight
of the world
on my shoulders.
I cast
it all on you now,
Lord.
Thank you
that it's all by your
grace,
that you
who begun a good
work in me
will
perform it into the
day of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you that it's up to you and not up to me. Thank you that you're the teacher, the healer, the deliverer, the savior. You're the one that knows it all. Forgive me for being a know-it-all. Lord, I choose to come out of all the places that I've been in a false refuge. I make you my refuge. Lord, forgive me for not having a clear conscience, living my life with a violated conscience. You want me to have a clear conscience. Forgive me for not holding fast to my confession. Forgive me for all the negative words I've spoken. I break them all. Forgive me for not walking in the Spirit. And Lord, I come under your yoke. I release, lift your hands, I release all the yokes that I've been wearing, and I come under your yoke. And Lord, I ask you to look to bring down your yoke from heaven upon every life in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties. You can put your hands down. I break soul ties with every person who's heard me, with mother, with my father. I break soul ties with my forefathers. I call back my soul and human spirit from them. I send back their souls and human spirits back to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. Now I come against fear, unrest. I break every yoke in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the yoke of Jesus that you're bringing down from heaven upon their necks. I come against, I break the power of worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, rebellion, antichrist. I come against all tormenting spirits in Jesus' name. I take them out of all those places where they've been swallowed up by life's trauma. I just come against all spirits of sleep disorders, insomnia. I come against all spirits, all tormenting spirits. I command you out now in Jesus' name. Just cough out. Take a deep breath. Blow out. Come out now. All spirits of fear, yokes of fear, yokes of bondage, yokes of slavery. Come out now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. All spirits of hatred, rage, bitterness, anger. I come against mind control. I break your power, depression, despair, hopelessness, despondency. Come out now in Jesus' name. All self-inflicted yokes, I break all yokes off their necks in Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, Jezebel, Ahab, controlling spirits, witchcraft. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, and everything that's under his feet's under my feet. So that means I'm your master, Satan. So get out in Jesus' name. Every demon power has to leave now in Jesus' name. We break your power. You're under our feet in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. All despondency, all hopelessness, all despair, every spirit that would keep them up at night, get out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of worry, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Spiritual blindness, abandonment, spirits of abandonment, every lie that they have to do it, they have to carry everybody. I command you out now in Jesus' name. Bone problems, come out. All spirits that have caused their bone density to be afflicted, get out now. Leanness of the bones, come out now in Jesus' name. I break the power of sickness, infirmity, torment, unforgiveness. The tormentors has to come out now. All spirits of unforgiveness, you have to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. All spirits of slavery, self-inflicted slavery, get out in Jesus' name. The spirits that cause them to be on a treadmill, come out now in Jesus' name. I break the curse of unrest in the name of Jesus. All spirits of lameness, crippling spirits that would cripple us, I command you out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of sickness, distress, disease, cancer, come out now in Jesus' name. Gluttony, come out in the name of Jesus. I break the power of sorcery, divination, mind control. Come out now in the name of Jesus. All spirits that hinder their fellowship, spirits of darkness, come out. Spirits that cause them to walk in darkness, I command you to go. In Jesus' name, you come out. Out in Jesus' name. Crippling spirits, we break your power. Rejection, we break your power. Self-rejection. Fear of man. Fear of failure. Fear of speaking the truth in love. Fear of saying no. All spirits of doormat has to go now in Jesus' name. All spirits of anxiety, you have to go in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Blow out. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Fear of death has to go in Jesus' name. Fear for family, you have to go. Worry over children, worry over family, you have to go now in Jesus' name. All spirits of despondency has to go. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food. We thank you for this food. Lord, we thank you and praise you that we live in a land of plenty. God, we thank you and praise you that you are our provider. We ask you to bless those that prepared the food. Bless it, purify it, sanctify it to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.